Don't you know I play a hunter on TV? I know what I'm doing, man.
Welcome to the Hunt Backcountry podcast, presented by Exo Mountain Gear. This podcast and the gear that we produce at Exo Mountain Gear share the same purpose: to make you a more capable, confident, and successful backcountry hunter. Straight to the point, no fluff, and no BS, this show is all about providing you with valuable information from experienced hunters. To learn more about the podcast or about our backcountry hunting packs, please visit exomountaingear.com. Well, welcome, and thank you guys for tuning in. Our guest on this episode is Tim Burnett from Solo Hunter. Tim has been around for quite a bit in the hunting industry, on television and film, in many aspects, and it's great to hear his perspective on this episode. We actually reached out to our followers on Instagram before we recorded this conversation with Tim to see what they wanted to know from Tim. We got some great questions that we sent to Tim's way in this episode: advice about solo hunting, advice for non-Westerners, what are some of the things that keeps him going and motivated when hunts get tough. We talk a little bit about some of the filming and video aspects and just really get into what Tim is about. Tim also takes this conversation to a whole depth that honestly I didn't see coming, but it's great to hear his perspective, and it certainly gave me a lot to think about, and I know that it's going to give you a lot to think about. So I'm excited to have you guys join in on this conversation that we had with Tim, something a bit different and something that I think we need to consider. So enjoy this one. Before we get to it, wanted to give a shout out to Lance Petrick. He left us a review on iTunes, which we really appreciate. We're actually getting ready to cross the 1,000 review mark on iTunes, which is crazy and awesome. We want to send Lance some swag just to say thank you for leaving his feedback. And listeners, we'd love to hear your feedback as well. Just leave us a review in iTunes or contact us directly with any questions, comments, or feedback to podcast@exomountaingear.com. We want this show to be what you want to hear. We want to help you guys out, so let us know what you want to hear. All right, let's get into this conversation with Tim Burnett. Tim, welcome to the Hunt Backcountry podcast. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks, Mark. Appreciate the invitation.
Yeah, absolutely. Steve, how's it going, man?
Good. Really good.
Yeah.
So is Steve on the other line just to kind of make sure that everything is on the up and up and nothing is said that should be said?
Steve is on the line to keep me in line. That's kind of
my chaperone.
Smack Mark around every once in a while.
That's pretty much all that goes.
Everybody needs a chaperone once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, everybody needs a Steve.
For sure.
So I would love to. It's funny, it was you know, I've been aware of your stuff for quite a while. We've never chatted personally, and I was actually thinking back through it, and I was like, I remember years ago I bought like a Solo Hunter shirt and sticker and stuff like that, and I actually did a quick search in my email and had it was in the sent items from when I emailed you back on that stuff, and it was like 2011. So what was that?
That's
7 years
funny.
Ago now. It's crazy.
Yeah, you think of the number 2011, and like that doesn't seem like very long ago until you start doing the math.
Yeah, so, right. Yeah, that's wild. So what were, jumping way back, what were the origins of Solo Hunter? How did it get started? Why get started? I know it's changed a lot in terms of what it is, you know, over these years, but what was the original origin?
Yeah, so Solo Hunter kind of came about while I was doing some filming and stuff for another show. And it was in the Midwest. It really wasn't what my passion was all about. And so I was always kind of filming things on my own and had this idea that at some point in time, if the opportunity came, that I'd want to do my own thing. And then I was actually producing a show. After that, I was producing a show for a group of guys on the Sportsman Channel. So I kind of got to know the networks a little bit, the people there, and kind of how things work, how the time buy model worked and everything, and didn't really understand it then. I don't understand it now. And just kind of the opportunity came about to get some airtime. And just kind of took advantage of it. I had a bunch of self-filmed stuff of my own, and I don't think I really comprehended at the time how difficult it was going to be to put together, you know, a whole season worth of episodes of self-filmed stuff. And so the first kind of few episodes were good, and then reality hit in. It was like, there's not a lot of guys out here doing that, and it's certainly not doing it with good enough quality for television. So the next couple of years were kind of a battle to really get it dialed into the footage and kind of the look and feel that I want. And even how it is now, it's still not exactly where I want it to be.
I'm sure it's a constant quest for improvement.
Yeah, I've never been afraid of changing things up. You know, I feel like if you're afraid to change something, then you kind of get closed-minded. And so, I mean, I'll change stuff mid-stride during the middle of a season and change up logo. Like, I don't know, that's part of the fun of it for me.
Well, I think it too, when you're in it, when you're in the game quite a long time, which at this point you have been, as you were saying, 2011 is not yesterday. So, I mean, over the years, you have to change it and keep it fresh and keep it interesting, and even if nothing else, for yourself.
Yeah, I actually first started filming for a TV show in 2004. It was when I first started really getting serious about it, and was part of a show called Buck Ventures, which is still running on the Sportsman Channel. So, like, I didn't just show up on the scene, you know, in 2010 when Solo Hunter launched. I had been kind of involved in one way or another for quite a while.
So in 04, was that on Betamax in 04?
Yeah, just No, but my first Elk Hunt was filmed on a Sony Hi-8.
Nice.
One of my first episodes with that show. So. Yeah.
You do all your own editing and everything basically in-house, right?
I do. I have a guy here locally, Jason Smith, that's helped me on a lot of projects. Like, I produced a series for Prime called Prime Pro, and he did all the editing for that. I did another kind of knockoff series for Sportsman Channel a few years ago called Off Grid Hunter, and my buddy Mark Ballesteri did all the editing for that. So, but for Solo Hunter, I do 90% of it. I've had Jason do a few things here and there when I get behind, but pretty much just have my blood and sweat into it.
So, sticking on the topic of solo hunting, we had several questioners, several questions from when I threw things out that we're going to have you on the show relating to that topic specifically. So, just to start with, some guys were asking, what is the biggest hurdle with going solo that's not gear related? And obviously, from your perspective, you have filming and all that, but just from a hunting perspective, solo hunting, what are the hurdles? What are some of the things that you've learned over the years to help find success when you're on your own?
Yeah, the biggest obstacle is always going to be your mind. It's always going to be you and the limitations that you put on yourself. And it's like a lot of times you'll go into a hunt, you know, in the first couple of days, you're just charging really hard and pushing hard. And it's those hunts when things aren't going well that your mind kind of starts to be like, I could be somewhere else. I could be, you know, back at home working or whatever. And so it's really just kind of keeping control of your mind. The hunts when you're seeing a lot of animals and having a lot of opportunities and stuff, like, those aren't the issue. Like, that's easy to keep your mind into it because that's the only thing you can really think about.
That's funny. The next question was about exactly that. Some of the worst mental or physical battles that you've faced while in the field on your own. And then, so does any stories come into mind? And then particularly, how do you fight through with the mindset and stay positive?
You know, it just depends on the time. It depends on the situation. I've been told that I'm weak several times by other people, and it's like, but I'm of the mindset, you know, I'm a pretty happy-go-lucky guy, and if I'm not enjoying myself, I have no issues whatsoever packing stuff and heading home, you know, and I'm totally content with that. And when that comes across on camera in one of the episodes, you know, other guys aren't okay with that. That's weak. You know, it's like, oh, you quit halfway through. It's like, no, I didn't quit halfway through. I just got to the point where I didn't want to be here anymore, so I left, you know. Or there's other times where I'm supposed to have gone home and I just keep pushing, you know, for more days than I should. So I just kind of do whatever I feel like, and whatever feels good to me, I do it. You know, I really don't have a set plan of saying, well, I'm going to be here one day and then I'm going to move into this area the next day. I'm just out there recreating and hunting and enjoying myself. And if it gets to the point where I'm not enjoying myself, truck's loaded and I'm on my way home.
That's a level of honesty that you don't see much. That's cool to hear.
Well, the hunting, like, you know, I hunt, but I'm not a hunter. Like, I can't just describe myself to friends or family or somebody that doesn't know me as, oh, I'm a hunter. You know, I'm a hardcore hunter. I like to go and backpack and do all these hardcore hunts and everything. He's like, no, that's part of my life. That's one of the things that I really enjoy to do. And I've kind of wrapped a brand and a business around that, but it's not 100% of my focus on everything. And I mean, honestly, I just get to the point where if I'm not enjoying it, then there's no sense even being there. Because at that point, you're just kind of making it your job.
For guys who are new, and some guys, you know, they want to go do a certain style of hunt and maybe they can't find a partner. They can't find a partner that's willing to do a certain style of hunt or a certain location or what have you. Guys that are new and want to go solo, but then also have these fears about being alone in the backcountry, you're taking this big type of trip. What are some of the things besides mindset, which is obviously a huge portion of it that you mentioned? Any other advice for guys who are just venturing out and getting into the solo game?
Yeah, I think you kind of have to really give yourself a self-check and say, is this something that I want to do for one? You know, is this like, if given a choice, do I really, really want to go out and hunt by myself for 7 days? You know, and if you do, then you've got to really take it to the next step and say, well, you know, am I capable both physically, mentally, or whatever to go out and do that? And I think a lot of guys are way more capable of what they think they are they're way more capable than what they think they are. I mean, anybody has the ability to go out and do it. So I think it's just a matter of, if you do have those fears, recognize that those are real fears and you got to figure out a way to overcome that if you're going to do the thing solo. And I guess if you can't overcome that, then figure out a way that you can cater your hunt to that, you know, and maybe that means striking out on your own throughout the day and then coming back and sleeping in your truck at night, you know, where you're more comfortable, rather than sleeping up on the mountain where you might have a little bit more fears. And, or maybe that's, you know, coming back to town and getting a hotel, whatever it is, it doesn't really matter. There's nobody out there judging you and saying, well, you're not tough enough because you're not sleeping on the mountain. You know, it's like, who cares? You know, if I wasn't posting what I'm doing on social media, would I hunt any differently? No, I'd still be doing exactly the same thing, you know? And I think a lot of times maybe guys get it and stuck in their heads where it's like, well, what's Jim going to think, or what's Fred going to think if I'm going back and sleeping in my truck and not sleeping on the mountain? Well, who cares? You know, you do what your comfort levels are.
That's good. I think that's a message that needs to be heard. And, you know, there's just a lot of, you know, gosh, people just play it up, right? And for some people, they're not intentionally playing it up. They're just representing hunting the way they like to hunt it. And maybe that is backpacking, and maybe that's backcountry, but that's not for everybody, and that's okay.
Well, I just find it fascinating that, you know, we as hunters, like, we always want to be the most rugged. We want to be the most extreme. Every backpack trip we go on was so brutal. It was so tough. Like, we exaggerate stuff so bad, myself included. I'm like, why do we do that? It doesn't make any sense. Who are we? Nothing we do in life is extraordinary by any stretch of the imagination. You know, there's people out there doing, surviving and doing things that are way, way cooler and harder and tougher than what we're doing. It's like this morning, I went on a big long hike just because I didn't have much going on today and I wanted to go on a big hike. So I pushed way farther than I should have with way too much weight in my pack, and came back and called my wife. She's like, well, you want me to come pick you up at the trail? I'm like, no, I'll tough my way through it. And I get back and I'm just like, why did I do that? Well, it's because I wanted to make it tough. You know, I wanted to make it hard. So
yeah. And she wanted to post about it on Instagram, right? I mean,
that's something you do. No, but I think inherently, you know, I'm not a big podcast listener, but I've listened to a few and your guys telling stories, and even some of the podcasts that I've done, and even some of the stories that I tell. And so often things just get stretched or embellished, or just, it's like we almost have it in us that we want people to know how cool we are, how tough we are. And I'm like, what is that? Where does that come from? You know?
Right.
Just because it's just, it makes no difference at the end of the day, you know? If you're not enjoying yourself, who cares?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's funny, like, some of the hardest situations that I faced haven't been intentional, nor are they brag-worthy, because they were simply hard because I was stupid. So yeah. It's not like I intentionally set out to, like, do this great thing or suffer through whatever. It was just, I made some dumb decisions and ended up dealing with it. With, you know, because there was no choice. There's no plan B. You had to get out, type thing.
Yeah. See, that's funny. That's where we're different. People ask me all the time, have you ever had any hair-raising experience or anything? I'm like, nah, pretty much everything goes as planned and it's pretty even keel, because I don't put myself in stupid situations if I don't have to, you know? So I really don't have any close calls, you know, to speak of, really. That's not what I want. That's not the type of adventure I want. I don't want to push myself to the edge to where something crazy could happen. I just want to, you know, make sure that I come home safely. But I'm not an adrenaline junkie either. So maybe it'd play out better for the show and the brand if I was more of an adrenaline junkie.
I think you're doing all right. So speaking of that, you know, the show, I think it's impressive. Just the longevity of it, and even that you have stayed interested in it. And it was interesting for me to hear how you talk about, you know, hunting isn't everything to you. Do you think that's a key to the longevity that you've had with staying involved in it? Because obviously once you're not just hunting, but involved it from an industry perspective, a content development perspective, it can be tough to keep going for as many years as you have.
Yeah, I think that's really important. You know, if I look back and just like, if you just take the contrast or the parallels between Remy and myself, you know, there's an age difference, but there's also a life difference where I've got a young family. He does not yet, you know, and he likes to do extreme things. I don't, you know, there's kind of those stark differences. If I didn't have those connections or those blessings of my family and my kids and everything, I probably would push a lot harder than I do. But I think for me, being able to, like I say, if I'm not enjoying myself, being able to come home and have a good experience and be home and have that to look forward to, and then taking time off, you know, without hunting all year round, you know, that's one of the beauty of having someone like Remy or whatever producing some of the content, is I don't have to be on the road all the time. So I really, really, for me, hunting is still kind of vacation, or not vacation, but it's kind of like, I still get excited for it because it's like, well, I only get to go on 4 or 5 hunts a year, and the rest of the year I'm working and doing product development or business development. So I think I've kept a pretty decent balance to be able to keep myself relatively fresh. And there's always examples opposite of that. You know, there have been some times where I have been burnt out, but for the most part, I keep it pretty even.
How does the family aspect play in for you specifically? Because there's just all kinds of things. You know, you see so many hunters who are, you know, putting antlers in their, you know, 3 months old hands or whatever, and they're just like, I'm going to raise a hunter and it's going to be whatever. And I get that. But at the same time, obviously you want your family just to enjoy what they enjoy, and maybe hunting is just something you do and that's kind of separate from the family deal. How does that dynamic play out for you?
Yeah, I think it's a personal thing. You know, for me growing up, my dad didn't hunt. He had no interest in it, no desire. I grew up on a farm, and you know, I've seen that man try to bring calves back to life and animals. Like, he has such a passion and a love for animals that hunting was the last thing that would cross his mind. And yet my brothers and I still got into it. And I look at my kids growing up now, you know, we live a pretty soft life in the suburbs of Reno. You know, it's very far removed from the countryside where I grew up. And I look at, you know, my son's 13 now and still hasn't gone on his own personal hunt. He's gone with me a couple of times. But right now, I mean, the kid's 13. All he can think about is basketball, baseball, football, you know. And I'm okay with that, because I look back at me in high school and my younger brothers. I didn't play football my senior year. My brothers didn't play football sophomore, junior, senior year, because hunting was more important. And looking back on that now, it's like, you know, you only get one opportunity to experience high school ball or baseball or whatever it is, like hunting's not that important to take away that for me to take that away from my son. So if he's all about baseball and basketball, then I'm all about baseball and basketball for him, you know, and if at the point when he does want to go hunting more, then I'll be there. But for now, it's not, I don't care, you know. If he doesn't want to hunt as an adult, yeah, it might hurt a little bit, but I don't care. That's his choice, you know.
So given what you do and the questions from our audience, there's obviously quite a bit that were film related, both equipment and otherwise. So let's transition, kind of dive into a few of those because it's things that people wanted to hear. For somebody who's not producing a show, not doing what you do, is filming worth it? Like, they have some interest in filming, but they're kind of questioning, is the headache worth it? What do you think from a personal value perspective of just kind of having footage, whether it's for personal memories, to show friends and family, whatever?
Yeah, I can't really speak from the other alternative of not having the footage, because I've always had it. Even from a time I was a kid, I was always trying to film stuff. I think it's all up to the person. You know, if I didn't have a TV show, would I still be filming my hunts and that? I think at this point, I may not. You know, I would definitely be taking pictures and doing a few things, but I don't know. It depends. I guess it kind of goes back to, what are you hunting for? Are you hunting so that you can show off to your buddies what you just killed or what you've done? Or are you hunting because you really love it, you know? I'm glad that I have the opportunity to film my hunts and a reason and a purpose for it, because I feel like, you know, there's so few of us out there that are showing hunting for the passion and the love of hunting and what hunting is and has been to us our entire lives. It's a lot easier to go the route of, I just want to be a badass on camera, you know, and I want to show the world how cool hunting is. Well, maybe the world doesn't think hunting's that cool, you know?
So. Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. What do you see as maybe some of the perspectives or thoughts that the hunting industry or the guys making film need to consider?
I think a lot. I mean, too many times when we go into making a film, I think we forget about who we're actually making that film for. I think there are the class of guys that get caught up into making a film to impress other filmmakers or other producers. I think there's guys that get too wrapped into making a film because it's the cool thing to do. It's what everybody's doing. That's what I want to do. And then there's the ones that make films because they want to share something that means a lot to them. You know, they want to share an adventure, or they want to share something specific, or have a specific message that they want to share in a platform that they're on. I don't think there's any right or wrong way of doing things. It's just, I think when your motive, I think you just got to have a true motive, you know, and you've got to be comfortable with what that motive is. And like I say, I think overwhelmingly in the hunting industry, I question our motives, you know, or I think there's a lot of us that our motives are too grand for what they really might ought to be.
What do you think, but elaborate on that, being too grand?
Well, I think it goes back to, you know, everybody wants to be bigger, badder, stronger, faster, you know, and the reality of it is there's always going to be somebody bigger, badder, stronger, faster, better, you know, and I think that it's okay if you go on a hunt or an adventure and you didn't die, you didn't come close to dying, you know, or you didn't have hallucinations, or you didn't get so sick that your buddy had to pack you off. Like, I think that's okay. I think it's okay with going on a backyard bow hunt, you know, for deer. I think every level of hunting is okay. And I think showing hunting, you know, with social media has really kind of changed it. You know, everybody wants to show what hunting is to them. And unfortunately, there's people that look at the different types of hunting and different things that people are doing. It's like, oh, that's not that cool, or that's not that tough, or, You know, that's easy. Anybody could do that. That's private land. Or, you know, if I had that guy's checkbook, I could kill a bunch of stuff too. Like, we're just a weird people, you know, and we need to be a lot more happy for everyone that's out there doing it. And we need to be happier for ourselves that are out there doing it, you know, and just be grateful that we have that opportunity, because the time could quickly come that we don't have that opportunity if we're not careful. That's just the ramblings. That's all it is. No, it's nothing important. Just ramble.
That's helpful perspective.
No, yeah, I think everyone's just too quick to judge these days. I just had this conversation with a guy in the office today about, like, why is it that it falls along these lines? Like, why do we have to compete with, like, everybody, right? It's like, if you shoot a gun and you shoot a bow, like, or you shoot a bow and you shoot a trad bow, like, I think it's like this, you said, we are weird people, and there's this natural instinct to be competitive and I'm better than you, or, you know, yeah, it's very interesting. Studying the human psychology would be kind of a fascinating topic.
Yeah, man, the microcosm of the hunter's mind would be just.
The guy at the office today, he's a manager for some tire stores, and there's basically like two tire stores of the same company that are like an hour apart. We're like competing with each other and getting pissed off at each other, and I was just cracking up because it's like who really gives a flying F, you know? So I think it's just the human in general.
I think it's funny that, like, we're always trying to define ourselves or define hunting or define what hunting is, or, you know, is hunting conservation or are we hunting for meat or all these things. And you kind of look down at somebody because they say that they're a meat hunter. It was like, oh, it's not just a meat hunter because you can get your meat anywhere, or you're not hunting for conservation because hunters are just a tool of true conservation. So, and it's like, we have all these people, you know, that we feel like, and I lump myself into this category, so that's why I use the word we, is like, we feel like we have to explain ourselves because we have this quote unquote platform. And it's like, why does there have to be a reason for anything? Why can't a guy just hunt because he loves to hunt? Why can't conservation just be a part of it? Why can't meat just be a part of it? Why do we all have to be know-it-alls and out there trying to explain it? It is what it is, man. You go out, you hike your brains out, you kill stuff, you bring it home, and you eat it. Like, it's not that complicated.
Couldn't agree more.
I was reading, in the past month, I was reading a book on Meriwether Lewis from Lewis and Clark. And it was, it was a commentary, like, on his journals and kind of this deep historical look at his story, both before the journey and afterwards, and obviously during. And it was just so striking to me how hunting then was truly just sustenance. I mean, the game was plentiful. It wasn't a pursuit about, you know, conservation. It wasn't like a test of your manhood. It wasn't an adventure. It was just like, go kill and eat, you know? And I was just really thinking, man, in the grand scheme of things, that wasn't that long ago. And now that same pursuit is an industry, and that same pursuit is, you know, all the things we've been talking about, people defining their identities from it. And it's just so striking how things change.
You know what, though? And Steve, I don't know what your opinion is on it, but I would lay odds that people outside of the hunting industry, like the majority of hunters, it is that way. Like, nobody, I guarantee people that aren't on Instagram and aren't on TV and aren't making films could care less what anybody else is doing or what size of buck anybody's killing or what they're hunting with. They're just living a lifestyle of it. You know, when the fall rolls around, I go and buy my deer tag and I go and I kill a deer and I bring it home. You know, I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I completely agree that there's such like this perception that's, I think, especially if you're caught up in say Instagram, that is hunting. And that's, you're looking at a tiny, tiny little segment of the entire market. Yeah.
I think it's the minority of the market, really.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, I could walk up my street and you'd be hard pressed to find a guy that's on Instagram or that posts any photos or whatever. And yet the garages are full of deer racks and the trucks are all camoed out. It's like, to me, that's what the hunting life is, but those of us that are within the industry, like, it gets really hard even for myself to look at it, and you start to think, man, is this really what hunting is? Is this what society sees us as hunters as? Because there's a lot of things that even people that are prominent and are supposed to be our spokespeople, you know, they're supposed to be the upper echelon of what is representing of hunting. And some of the things that they do and say are repulsive to me, you know, a person that's been a lifelong hunter. And that gets, it's kind of scary, you know, because you look at the reality and the reality is not that way, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gosh, there's so much to that. So much we could talk about for sure, but it goes off into such a deep tangent.
Well, don't feel like I'm bagging on social media or, you know, or the hunting industry or anything. I'm not, because that's the industry that we're in. What I think the point that I'm trying to make, you know, I'm doing a poor job of doing it, is like, I think we need to be very conscious. And this is one thing, you know, Steve, not to rattle your horn or whatever, you know, but I think that it's an image that you guys with EXO portray really well. It's like, it's not the over the top, you know, it's very, it is what it is. And I think a lot of us really, and I feel like I try really hard, and I think Remy tries really hard. Like, there's a lot of us that could be doing better of representing hunting as it really is in the mainstream, and not as we think that it should be within the little microcosm of social media.
Yeah, couldn't agree more there, for sure. I think it's so easy to get caught up and get wrapped around it when there's just, like I said, I think I'm identical to you. Like, hunting is a big part of my life, and whether social media existed or became my job, I would still do it, and I could, you know, it's just who I am. But there's also a huge portion of my life that is not involved with hunting. My family, my wife, my daughter, you know, and it's, yeah, it's too easy to get caught up in it and think that the world revolves around it.
Yeah. I remember coming across a video of yours. I think it was before you started EXO. It might have been just one of your transition between the broadhead company and whatever else, but you had a video of you shooting your bow, at angles in the snow at a 3D target and stuff. I can't even remember honestly
I know what that is, yeah.
But I was like, I can remember you from that, you know, that long ago. That was quite a while ago, actually. But
yeah, yeah. That's funny.
But like, that's before the rat race of, you know, EXO Packs and being the owner of a pack company came into play, and you were still a part of it, you know?
Yep, yep.
It's especially, I just, you know, it gets my mind spinning, because the thing that you're talking about, Tim, with all of the guys that are out there, you know, and up the street and have a garage full of racks and all that, but they're not the ones on Instagram. And we can poke at Instagram and social media, and rightfully so in many ways. But at the same time, the thing is, that's like, I'm always thinking like, well, what's next, right? And what's next is always the upcoming generation. And they're the guys that get sucked up into the Instagram stuff more than anything, because that's what they see. Like, that's more of them. That's more of their generation. And so it just makes me think more and more of, like, how do we steward that well? Like, how do we be a good representation and be in the places that they are and influence them, but do it in such a good way? Like, it just gets my mind spinning.
I'm struggling with that, you know, personally, looking at it and saying, is there a way to do this? You know, and I don't think that I have all the right answers, but it's kind of concerning when you look at it and people are so staunch that they want that shock factor. You know, we're so arrogant to think that, well, I don't care what anti-hunters think. They're not going to like us anyway. I'll post blood and guts and whatever I want, you know, or forget those guys. Who cares? I think it's kind of scary to me to think that we're inflicting ourselves willingly by the content that we're putting out. It's like there's no need for any anti-group to come up with a anti-hunting marketing campaign, because we're already doing it for them, you know. And it's really kind of frustrating that there are those out there that are picking fights that don't need to be picked, or that are bringing up controversy that doesn't, that wouldn't be there had we not brought it up, you know?
Yeah, there's something, there's something just at the base level of, I think, of humans and nature and psychology, of we always want to categorize things, divide things, label things, regardless of what that is. But many times it's just unhealthy to do that, right? I mean, you're just, you're building caricatures and you're, you know, writing off the truth because the truth is fuzzy sometimes. So it's so much easier just to label something and throw it out.
I mean, you say, I guarantee you're going to see it with this podcast. You're going to have people chime in and say, Tim's a wuss. He's not hard enough. He needs to back everybody up. He needs to speak stronger of the hunting industry. He's a sellout. You know, you're going to get all that kind of stuff as well. And that's what's crazy about the hunting industry is that we are so different. You know, everybody has their differing opinions of how to present hunting.
Man, all right. Let's it's like, it's so good, but gosh, it makes me think more than anything. And that's a good thing. I hope our listeners, when they hear this, are in that same position. They just want to like kind of step away from it and think about it. There's a lot to process.
Well, none of us want to talk about it, but it's just the reality that's there, you know?
Yeah, no, it's great. It's great. So a bunch of the questions we got, which now seems super trivial. So let's get into them.
No, that's right. It's the good stuff. It's the stuff that really matters. It's the point we're trying to make here. This is really the only thing that matters is the lifestyle of hunting, right?
Yeah. So we got, obviously, a bunch of questions about filming, which I think I started to mention when we got into all this.
Yeah, I'll stay on track this time.
No, it was good. It's good. Do you go, how planned is your approach to filming before a hunt? I mean, do you go in trying to get certain types of footage because you know what you're getting into, certain order of shots, number of angles, B-roll, etc., or is it just really organic of capturing what happens as it happens?
I think I used to. I mean, I think I've kind of gone in stages where I've had a shot list and I've had a kind of preconceived notion in my mind of what I want to film. But the more that I've done it and the more that I do it, a lot of those lists are probably still there, but they're kind of, you know, subconscious where I just do them anyway. So really, I think at this point, honestly, it's probably just a matter of documenting it as it happens. It's just going into it and you see a situation, you film it, you know, and just covering it as it happens. I think a lot of that just comes from experience and knowing what I need as an end result, you know, from a television format standpoint. You just go into it and start rolling camera.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure that your experience is a huge part of that. It's like anything else. When it's new, you have to be super conscious, maybe consult with an external resource, a list or what have you. But as time goes by and you do something more and more, that stuff just becomes a part of you. And you're doing the same thing. You're just doing it without those external factors.
I think the hardest part now is I find myself, you know, I'll get the camera out and I'll start filming something. I'm like, man, I filmed that same shot a dozen times a year for the last dozen years, you know, or I've said these exact same things a dozen times, and you're just always trying to think of something different so that it's not just the same old, and every hunt is different. So that's a plus on your side, is you don't know what the outcome is going to be, and everything kind of unfolds in its own way. But I think for me, the obstacle is I find myself saying the same things over and over, or at least thinking that I've said the same things over and over.
Mm-hmm. What cameras are you using most these days?
So I use the Panasonic GH4. I just got a GH5 as well. I've used those for the last 3 or 4 years since it came out, just because it works really well. It's a sturdy little camera, lightweight, battery life is phenomenal, shoots great footage. You know, it's for a self-filmer, for a hunting self-filmer, I've been hard pressed to find a camera that's any better. I think for a lot of guys on the Western stuff, there's the Sony AX10 III or the Sony AX10 III or whatever. That's a DSLR camera with the lens built into it. That's probably a pretty good way to go for long range type of stuff or for longer shots, but I don't have any experience with it really.
You mentioned the battery life, and we had some questions about how you handle power management on longer hunts. Is it just battery banks? Is it extra battery packs, solar? What's your approach?
Yeah, so I've gone both ways. I've packed solar chargers. I've packed, you know, extra charging units and everything. And at the end of the day, pound for pound, benefit is it's a lot easier to just pack more batteries. Just bring the batteries that you need and not worry about charging.
Do you notice much in the cold weather that that truly takes effect on those batteries? And are you doing things to remedy that?
Yeah, it does. I just keep my batteries in a pouch on the inside of my backpack. And then I always just keep one in an inside, you know, on the inside of my jacket or my pants pocket. Just as always a backup. With this GH4, I can run up one battery. And granted, I'm kind of editing with the camera too. I'm not filming a lot of unnecessary stuff just because I've got so much experience with it that I can pretty well run one battery for 2 or 3 days unless I'm doing a lot of time lapses and that kind of thing.
That's incredible.
Yeah. The Sony RX10, that's the other one that a guy recommended to me, and I took a look at it and it's one that for somebody starting out, it's a DSLR format, but it has this like 600 millimeter zoom, great video quality. It'd be a good starter camera for guys.
Cool. So flipping from the film side, getting into just some of the hunt specific questions that we got before we wrap up here. In your opinion, when it comes to gear, especially for guys starting out with the backcountry deal, what are the few gear categories or areas, items that they should invest their money on, as opposed to some places where they can, you know, maybe get by without spending top dollar?
Honestly, sleeping system is probably like the number one. Good pad, good sleeping bag, you know, specifically a sleeping bag. I think that's vital. I mean, a pack obviously is important, but I don't think that it's as important as your sleeping system. Even clothing. I mean, shoot, there's guys out there going on Dal sheep hunts wearing Carhartt pants. You know, I mean, you can get away with a lot, but I think when it comes to getting good rest and staying dry and warm, you know, so that you can actually function for the rest of the trip, that's what it would be for me. Clothing and that, and the pack and that would be kind of a close second.
If you had one hunt left, what species would it be? Where would it be, and why?
If I had one hunt left, there'd be a lot of other things that'd be more important. I probably wouldn't need to do it. I wouldn't even go.
I'm not
on
saying you're gonna die terrible tomorrow, and that's how you have to spend your last day. But
yeah, if I knew, I don't know. You know, I don't know. I want to experience. There's a lot of different critters out there that I'm not that experienced with that I want to do more of. It's hard to beat mule deer in the velvet in August. It's really tough to beat. Just from a standpoint of you get to take naps. You don't have to really bust your butt. Like it's just a nice time of year.
I want to hear, you know, kind of what's happening and what we can look forward to with Solo Hunter, both, you know, from a project perspective as you continue to film, but then also as you've gotten further into product development and working on those things. I'd just love to hear about it.
Yeah, so it turns out I've got a new pack coming out. No, I'm just kidding. you know, I've kind of worn out on the product development. The rifle cover was kind of my first thing, and it's still, I think, you know, there's nothing else like it. It's really kind of a rare beast. So it's been super happy with it. It's really the only one that's really kind of my proprietary product that I invented, did some provisional patenting and all that kind of thing. Everything else is stuff we just license. You know, it's really not, I don't have any real mental development into it. I'd like to, but it's a time thing, you know, really from that point. There's a lot of things that I would like to do, but then you start looking across the board. And Steve, you and I have had this conversation a little bit as you start looking at what's out there, and it's like, well, dang, how can I improve on what's already there? There's already these brands that are doing such a phenomenal job. The only difference is it doesn't have my name on it, you know? And am I that proud that I need to have something that has my Solo Hunter name on it? And for a while I thought, yeah, you know, I want to create products that that I use and that I can replace and not use somebody else's. I'd rather use my own. But the more I get into it, there's just certain things that just doesn't make sense, because I know that for a fact I'm not going to be able to make one as good as what I've already got, you know. So there's a few little trinkets that I'm working on and doing, but for the most part, I just want to create content at this point. You know, I really kind of, business is good and sponsors are good and life is good, family's healthy and happy. I kind of want to enjoy it for a while and just focus on creating content and going on some hunts that I could only dream of years ago, that I'm now finally in the position to be able to do them. And I'm just going to kind of enjoy that part of life and that part of the development. And if new products come, then great. Or if new TV projects come, great. Or films or whatever, you know, I'm just going to kind of focus on that.
So this could potentially get us back into the deep area, if you will, but wanted to wrap up with a question.
I don't want to get there. I'm already depressed. I depressed myself.
Wanted to wrap up with a question that we got that I thought was a good one to throw your way. Is someone, you know, as we mentioned, obviously you said you started in 04 filming and then you started kind of this whole hunter deal around 2010. If it was you in 2010, but now, is the way the media scape is and hunting is, but you wanted to break into it, you wanted to do something, maybe do something different or fresh or original. Any advice for that guy today?
So it's really weird right now. Like, I think that the way that media is, there's no easier time to get yourself out there than ever before. Like, I mean, if we would have had Facebook or Instagram when I started out, I mean, y'all, you could have blown it out of the water right from the very get-go. The downside to that is that because the resources are there and the tools are so at our fingertips, the field is a lot more crowded. So there's a lot more guys with the ability to get into it. And people, I think, 5, 6, 7 years ago took a look at the hunting industry and saw that they could do that. So these guys have kind of educated themselves as they've grown up into it. And there's some guys out there that are really good. Like they're doing some awesome things. So the tools and resources are there. The difficulty side to it is the way that we fund these projects is through partnerships and sponsorships or, you know, networks or whatever else. And I think there's a lot of big brands, I mean, several that we deal with as well, that are like confused. They're like, well, we can get a lot of free stuff over here, or we can pay a lot of money over here. And I think there's just this, there's this flow of free advertising out there that these manufacturers are taking full advantage of. And it's wise. Like I do the same thing, you know, like you look at it and you're saying, well, crap, I'm getting X number of impressions on this product. And I didn't even have to spend a dime. I didn't even have to ask that person to do it. And they're just doing it, you know? And so from that standpoint, it's really difficult because the dollars aren't flowing into the content provider's pockets as easy as it used to. But I think that eventually things will settle and, you know, it'll work out. So it's kind of like, it's tough. It's like the best time than ever, but it's also the most difficult time than ever. Well, I guess the key is you have to be independently wealthy to start off with and then do it.
that's a shorter cut to success.
Or do what everybody does and make a bunch of hats and t-shirts and try to make your way that way. See how that works out for you.
Well, that's the path to independent wealth, and then you build from there.
I'll tell you what, man, I gotta move a lot of hats to make any money, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I think first, for my advice for somebody coming into it, is just have a business plan. Like, not just an idea, like have a cold, hard, fast business plan of where your revenue is going to come from. Different sources of revenue, whether that's product or sponsors or whatever else. Like, I don't think I would be able to make it if I had to focus or if I had to rely on one income stream. You know, I've got multiple streams of income that are all relatively small, but cumulatively they work, you know, and they enable me the ability to do what I do. And so someone coming into it, you really got to be able to think outside of the norm and, you know, don't tackle it as though all my money is going to come from sponsors, and that's just the way it works, and that's how it's going to work. Because that's a tough road.
Yes, that's great advice. Because I definitely talked to plenty of guys that want to start a film company or something and want to get sponsored, and my first question is, what's your plan? What are you doing? And more often than not, they don't have an answer for that. It's like, well, we want to get in the hunting industry, and it's like, okay, you gotta have something more than that, because you're gonna do it for a couple of years and realize that this wasn't worth my time.
Yeah, I find it myself with even now. You pitch a film idea to or an episode idea to sponsors, and like, well, how are you gonna make that happen? The idea is cool, right. But then what? So it's like, what? You're questioning me, Tim Burnett? I've been in this industry for years. Are you kidding? I know what I'm doing. And I have to sit back and swallow my pride and be like, do I really know what I'm doing? Okay, I better write a business plan on that specific episode,
Mm-hmm. So. And did you just pick up business along the way, Tim? I'm just hearing for some of these guys out there, and they're thinking, business plan, what? Multiple streams of income, what? Like, I just want to make a film. But then I'm sure there's some other guys who are super into the filming thing, and they're ready. Like, they want to get into that. Do you have any advice to just help understand the business side a bit?
Dude, don't you know? I play a hunter on TV. I know what I'm doing, man. I'm a pretender. I just make it up as I go along, right?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I don't know. Every time I think that I know what I'm talking about, I realize that I don't know what I'm talking about. So, I've got business experience in that, but then sometimes I look at it too and I'm like, man, if I only had business experience, I could really blow this thing out of the water. So I honestly don't know. Business plan is simple. It's like, what's it going to cost? Where's your revenue stream going to come from? What's your plan for longevity? That's really a business plan in a nutshell.
Well, there's your 2-minute MBA from none other than Tim Burnett. Well, once again, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. You can go to exomountaingear.com/podcast to get all of the episodes past and to make sure and hit that subscribe button to get all of the episodes that are to come. We have so many great guests lined up. Several episodes we've already recorded that we can't wait to release, and just excited to share this with you guys. Thank you for being in it with us, for tuning in, for supporting the show, and for making this happen. We will catch you guys next week.